Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Welcome, 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 Newsbusters listeners. You are listening to the Newsbusters podcast. It is I, Curtis Houck, your managing editor, and here I am with your deputy managing editor, Nick Night Train Fondacaro.
Happy to be here again.
Yeah, we're still here holding down the fort. Tim Graham is out with his lovely family in Wisconsin, where he's from, if you couldn't tell by his accent. So we've got a lot of things to talk about today. A lot of things have happened since our last podcast on Wednesday. The first thing I want to touch on real quick, Nick, is the departure of Brian Williams from MSNBC. Yes, he announced at the end of his year contract, that this is the end of the chapter and the beginning of another. And as our Jeff Dickens wrote in a roundup, what Williams didn't say was how his latest chapter began. And of course, his move to MSNBC came following a demotion, following his firing from NBC Nightly News after it was found that he had lied about his time in Afghanistan. He thought he was shot down in a helicopter a la Black Hawk Down meets Saving Private Ryan, as he called it. Saving Private Brian. He also claimed that he saw bodies floating in New Orleans when he was reporting on Hurricane Katrina in 2005. As we now know, there was an inch or two of water where he was in New Orleans, so there was no way that, he could have seen that. So, and the list just goes on and on and on. So we have that study for you to look at, and we highly encourage you to check that out. And one other thing that I want to touch on before we get into some Kyle Rittenhouse stuff and the latest from Joy Reid coming out in support of pornography. The other thing I wanted to take a look at here is a piece from our Scott Whitlock, who had an item entitled Pathetic CNN Offers Chinese Commie Editor's Note for Atrocity Story. The CNN story was an op-ed by Nuri Turkle, a Hudson Institute fellow, with his piece entitled, I was born in a Chinese re-education camp. I'm watching history repeat itself. Sounds great in terms of CNN offering coverage about, what many think are modern-day concentration camps. However, CNN decided to stay in the good graces of Winnie the Pooh's Xi Jinping with this editor's note. The Chinese government has repeatedly denied any allegations of crimes, including forced labor and forced sterilization against the Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples. It claims it is providing the Uyghurs with education at vocational training centers while assisting in de-radicalization efforts to combat alleged terrorism. Now, for those that even tangentially read Newsbusters, you would realize that they just gave the Chinese government, the people running concentration camps, more of a benefit of the doubt than they did the entire Trump administration. Interesting. Interesting priorities here. So now, Nick, I was thinking that we're going to talk a lot about the Rittenhouse, both I'll talk about this here, and then we'll also dive into it in our banter. But again, we had one of those moments last night where something comes along and I just have to completely rewrite what I want to do. I got to go with something else here because this is just entirely, just
put things on the back burner. Something's boiling over.
Something's just boiling over. Smoke, steam, everything. And that was last night's readout. Now, just like with Jeffrey Toobin, I can't believe we're having to talk about this, but Joy Reid and Michael Steele came out in support of pornography in schools. There's no other way to put it. Well, first, let's just play what Michael Steele had to say. This is in reference to alleged book burnings by conservatives that simply want sexually explicit material removed from school libraries so that their underage children are not exposed to it. And this is in backlash to things like Fairfax County sending out a sexual activity survey to preteens. So with that being said, let's roll Michael Steele's argument for why sexually explicit material should not be banned in schools.
All those parents worried about pornography in the literature, Kids ain't worried about pornography and literature. You better take your son's phone and take a look at what that bad boy is downloading. Go to that school dance and see what they're doing out behind the school, baby. Come on now. These parents acting like they were teenagers.
Hello. And they don't have their kids' passwords, so even if they got the phone, they couldn't see what's on it because they don't even know what their kids are watching on the phone. Hello.
Okay. So, to recap, Steele is saying that banning porn in schools is neither here nor there because, as per this broad stereotyping, boys have already downloaded porn onto their phones and people are having sex out behind the school the night of school dances. Everybody's doing it, so you might as well just let it happen. And Joy Reid also said, insisting parents don't have their kids' password, so even if they got the password, they don't know what's on it because they don't know what they kids are watching on the phone. You're a really bad parent if you're not able to look at your kids' phones or at least monitor their internet activity. You know that internet companies have those kinds of things that you can block. So it just takes a smart kid to get around those things. But that's neither here nor there. But before that, Joy Reid also talked about more lies about Glenn Youngkin. You would think when you get beaten in an election, you would want to reassess, you know, your campaign strategies. It's very clear that Youngkin and his supporters did that following 2020. They went to focus on things people care about. It was moving away from Donald Trump, where Donald Trump is not the prism from which every policy is seen. But for Joy Reid and co, it's doubling down. She started her show with a clip from the 1966 version of Fahrenheit 451 with book burnings to proclaim that welcome to the Republican Party of 2021. Our future dystopia is already here. The Republican Party is all aboard when it comes to stoking the anxieties of conservative white suburbanites to maintain control. Especially now that Glenn Youngkin rode a wave of fragile feelings to victory. On the boogeymen of critical race theory and buoyed by a little book banning, mainly beloved. It's really tough to say at this point what Joy's doing here other than just straight lying. One could say that she's not smart enough to know that she's lying, but I'm going to say she knows exactly what she's doing in this situation. It is really amazing to look at how liberals, the ones that want to shout down people on college campuses and want to kick people off social media for sharing a totally proven news article from the New York Post about Hunter Biden's laptop and doesn't want to talk about the very valid claims raised by Tony Bobulinski that they're going to say the right are the people that are the ones censoring speech and burning of books. It is really amazing that they're going to go to that end. The night before, Joy Reid and friends talked about how the entire Republican Party is a slow-moving insurrection with apartheid democracies all over the country, like in Georgia. Again, this is such a poisoning of the well here and a degrading of our body politic. It's one thing to just say they're wrong. That's what we do here, and we say liberals are wrong, and liberal journalists lie. There's double standard when it comes to fact-checking. Just like how Joy Reid wouldn't be fact-checked by Glenn Kessler. And it's highly doubtful Joy Reid will ever lose her job based on conduct or ratings. And we all know why. But it's another thing to really offer such rhetoric that's so, again, poisonous and really inciting. Because I point this out all the time, but I have to remind people. A team of congressional Republicans were nearly murdered in 2017. It was a Bernie Sanders supporter who also liked Rachel Maddow. This is the side that talks about words mattering. And they really don't seem to be taking to heart what they're talking about here. these university professors that they have on all the time that talk about far-right extremism and white supremacy and white nationalism being everywhere, that even Glenn Youngkin is this white supremacist in a sweater vest. You know, they're otherizing the people who disagree with them. They're demonizing everybody. It's all about the Brown scare. Notice how everything that these university professors and academics that study extremism are talking about is exactly what they themselves are doing. It's a very Linsky-like tactic here. One other thing I want to touch on here before we bring in Nick is in that same segment, Joy Reid talked about how Republicans are going to bioengineer electoral results. Isn't that interesting? Huh. So what they're saying is that they will, she talked about on Wednesday, that they can simply steal enough elections and rig enough elections to reintroduce an autocrat or someone else to ensure that America turns into, quote, an insurrectionist society. Huh. Again, there's no evidence to that. Pretty sure voter ID is not rigging the vote. You know, getting rid of drop boxes and those sorts of things that were pandemic era moves is not voter suppression. Georgia's bill is very sensible. You're still allowed to have food. You're still allowed to drink water. But again, these things are painted as the end of the world. And I'll just close with this. If everything's terrible and everyone is terrible, then nothing is terrible. I always think of that when I think of Steve Schmidt, who always has those long, winding commentaries when he's on a panel with five other people. And it seems like he just reads from a thesaurus. Like he opens up a random page to synonyms for bad to describe Donald Trump and the Republican Party, and he just reads off like 10 of them. When you're on a panel with like five other people, dude, you make your points and you play off of each other and see what they say, and you actually have a real discussion. That's how Morning Joe used to be. I will say that Morning Joe used to be an interesting show. Young Curtis in, I don't know, 2010 would tell you that they would have a 20-minute discussion. They would try to come to a consensus. But now it's just rambling and Mika melting down all the time. And Joe talking about how he wants to wear masks all the time now so that nobody will get the flu. No, thanks. No, thanks. We're good with that. So, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other big story in the news here.
Well, before we move on from that, one of the thoughts that I had about Joy Reid there, we all know that she's basically clinically insane. And if she's going off about, like, Fahrenheit and book burnings, one of the takeaways from the book, or one of the things that's brought up in the book, is how a lot of the burners, like, they would sort of, their minds would sort of warp from being exposed to the fumes of kerosene. It seems like Joy Reid has been breathing in too much kerosene fumes herself.
Yeah, you have to wonder what was going on here. She also talked last night about how Ronald Reagan was a racist because he went to Neshoba County Fair, which, as I pointed out in my piece in Newsbusters, was and has been repeatedly debunked. But she talked about how the effects of Ronald Reagan's going after bureaucracy and wanting to rein in welfare was an example of racism, and it made life difficult for she and her family growing up. So it is, yeah, it's something else to behold. Now, Nick, mm-hmm. I do want to move on to Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yes.
I will admit and cop to the fact that some of us did not follow this story as closely as we should have until the trial, but I know you were very adamant about the story from the beginning here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you also wrote about Jeffrey Toobin offering one of the funniest and most ironic takes known to mankind.
Zero self-awareness.
Zero self-awareness. Go for it.
So, a couple days ago, you had in the middle of the trial, and when Kyle was giving his testimony, he had his sort of emotional, nervous breakdown where he couldn't get his breath. And then during one of the breaks that day, you had Joey Jackson, who gives pretty good expert analysis from a defensive counselor point of view, a defensive attorney. And then you had who was saying that the prosecution didn't touch Rittenhouse at all. Like, they really couldn't break through. They really couldn't get their narrative across that he was a first-degree murderer. But then you had Jeffrey Toobin follow up and just pontificate about how Kyle Rittenhouse is lucky that it isn't illegal to be an idiot. Paraphrasing, of course. This is from the guy who ended up getting fired from The New Yorker and suspended for CNN for a time because he was caught masturbating in a Zoom call. Jerk-free Lubin, you do not have the ability to call someone else out for being an idiot. Glass houses, my dude. Stop throwing your stones.
Right. This is like Don Lemon telling people, don't go up to someone in a bar and start touching them. And if somebody threatened to throw someone down a set of stairs, Chris Cuomo would opine, hey, man, that's a bridge too far. Of course, in the case of Cuomo, that's on tape. And with Lemon, he's alleged to have done that, which, as Nick also pointed out this week, did not receive coverage when the man at the center of that story talked to the great Megyn Kelly on her Sirius XM radio show. I also add that Nick wrote how Laura Coates suggested that the media have been, quote, sympathetic towards Kyle Rittenhouse.
Absolute fabrication.
Erroneous. Ridiculous.
Looking at it today, you had, like, just this week, you had CBS Mornings on their Twitter account before the defense even rested. Yesterday, they called him a murderer. Like, they didn't say he killed three people. They didn't say he killed two people. They said he murdered two people. That is what the jury is deciding, is if he's a murderer or if he's a person who killed people in self-defense.
Right. And then last night on the CBS Evening News, they said that the credibility of Rittenhouse's tears and panic attack were the subject of debate,
and the person that they had showed as the example of people questioning it is LeBron James, a guy who gets his shoes made in China by slave labor and who doesn't give a two you know what's about the Uyghur situation like we were discussing earlier. So, and the idea is, like, he's not from the city. He's not from Kenosha. He has nothing to do with this case. And the only reason that they're going to him is because he's a famous person who's spouting off and he's ignorant about the subject.
I think this trial is really instructive in terms of the media coverage. You know, we take out the insane coverage beforehand, which Kyle Rittenhouse could very well find himself turning into the next Nick Sandman. If he has some good lawyers and he decides to sue the right media organizations once his trial is over with. But I will say, the misinformation has been all over the place. I should say that, you know, from the attorney and the prosecutor showing, really reflecting the media's lack of awareness in terms of gun rights. Mm-hmm. That's something we talked about with Stephen Katowski over the summer. Just really media blind spots when it comes to basic gun ownership. And Binger making the media's argument that someone carrying a gun should not be able to defend themselves because there's no active, like, and present and immediate danger to their lives. And I know, Nick, this is something you're really passionate about, which is,
Because I mean,
it's basic common sense that, like, yes, policemen and the people in the military carry guns, okay? Even if they are not under active and present danger, that they're not being, you know, shot at by terrorists in the mountains of Afghanistan, but they still carry their weapons with them anyway. I mean, this is really basic stuff here, and yet the media don't want that because they've shown very clearly that you should not be able to defend yourself, that I guess pro-murder. If someone points a gun at you, should you just let them shoot?
Yeah, like, for instance, like, on Thursday night, you had Chris Cuomo, and I tweeted this. You can go see the clips on my Twitter account. But Chris Cuomo couldn't separate out how somebody carrying a gun doesn't intend to shoot. It's like somebody who carries for self-defense doesn't intend to shoot somebody. Somebody could go out. I am a concealed carry. I have a concealed carry permit here in Virginia. When I leave my home, I do carry. I don't intend to use it. But if I need to, I will. If there is a threat against my life and backs against the wall, I will use deadly force to protect myself or somebody else. And Cuomo couldn't understand that somebody could be prepared to use deadly force when needed and not intend to shoot somebody when they leave the house. Like, that was like his whole thing. He's like, oh, is this really a thing? Like, dude, you were a lawyer. Like, that's the other thing. Chris used to be a lawyer, but he doesn't practice anymore, though he does keep his license up, apparently. But, like, clearly there's a reason you're not in a law firm anymore. It's like you're bad at this, dude. And, like, and what this ends up doing is it ends up poisoning CNN viewers because they think he's an authority on something, because Chris apparently owns a gun or two that he
does. He even know how to shoot them? Probably. He probably doesn't.
Well, he probably does, but the thing is, in New York, like, he probably is one of the few people in New York that's allowed to have a concealed carry permit if he does have one, because in New York it's a may issue state, and the only people that are allowed to get them, and this is what's in the Supreme Court right now, them looking at the concealed carry in New York, is that the only people that are allowed to get them are people who are famous, well off, and can describe a need to have it.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is basic stuff. And then there's also the discussion about stand your ground laws. Our Jorge Bonilla quote tweeted over, I believe it was one of my tweets or it might have been one of yours the other day, where he says, coming to you from a stand your ground state. Of course, Joy Reid talked about on Wednesday about how this case was giving her flashbacks to the George Zimmerman trial, which we need to point out is perhaps the biggest piece of misinformation and disinformation about this entire trial, is that there's a racial component to it. Oh my gosh, Rittenhouse is white. The jury's white. Guys.
All his victims are white.
Yeah, okay, I mean.
Or purported victims.
Purported victims, yes. The guy who was a sexual predator, pedophile, sodomized children, etc. So, yeah, I mean, and they're doing the same thing with the Mount Arbor show, which is a little bit different, which is very interesting. It's one, always notice when the media are complaining about things not being covered. They're complaining about there not being coverage in the Mount Arbor trial. Oh, it's racist. It's terrible. Says the people with power and cameras to change that. You know, I just always find that amazing when the media complain about how, oh, this thing's not being covered. You know, in the case of Fox News, they put their money where their mouth is and the resources there. They say something's not covered. Well, guess what? They're going to cover it on Special Report or one of their other newscasts. That's how this works. You know, we have reporting. We have CNSnews.com, MRCTV, and our other friends in conservative media, so that when we say something's not covered, we can report on it. But yet again, you know, along these racial lines, Joy Reid on Wednesday had Paul Butler on, Georgetown law professor and legal analyst. I want to get another clip in. We're going to play this clip of him describing what this trial strikes him as, and Joy Reid reacting to Kyle Rittenhouse being questioned by the prosecutor about why he wanted to buy an AR-15. He asked him why he would buy an AR-15, and he told him why. And this is how Joy Reid and Paul Butler reacted to it.
You picked it out because it looked cool.
I thought it looked cool.
Dream with me, Paul. Could any child of color, young person of color, ever do that on a stand and get away with it?
You already know, Joy, of course not. This is white privilege on steroids. Rittenhouse testified that after he shot all of these people. He approached the cops and told them that he'd been involved in a shooting, and the officers told him, be careful so that you don't get pepper sprayed and go home. It's impossible to imagine that happening to a black or brown person. They would have been in handcuffs if they were lucky enough to survive that kind of encounter with cops.
Okay, so for those playing along at home, that insinuation there at the end was Rittenhouse would have been mowed down that night on the spot by police if he were black. Pretty sure that would not have happened, seeing as how police were unable to stop buildings from burning and millions of dollars from being of damage from being done to Kenosha, which isn't exactly a very large city. No offense to the rioting in, you know, cities like Washington and Portland and Seattle. Kenosha's way smaller than that. You know, only has, I believe 100,000 people, if that. Maybe a couple more, but well under a quarter million people. So, again, more racism here. And it's quite simple that these people are the real racists. It's just such hatred, as I talked about at the beginning. It's pretty disgusting what's going on here. And you can tell, Nick, that they are gunning for riots. These people want riots. They need riots. The start of the trial, R. Clay Waters wrote a story in the New York Times that was 10,000 words long on the New York Times' end about how Rittenhouse was part of scary paramilitaries that were coming to Kenosha. All right, well, you know what? A lot of conservatives can make the argument that he shouldn't have been there. Fine. I subscribe to it, but, you know, if people, you know, want to argue with me about that, that's fine. The problem is he was there. And he was there because, you know, businesses and communities knew that there wasn't enough boots on the ground to defend them from the groups that were coming in. You could also say the same about the people that were shot, Nick. Why were they there, too?
But notice
how the media are only framing it as, why was Kyle Rittenhouse there? He shouldn't have been there. He's an idiot. But therefore, he's guilty. This goes back to, like, A Few Good Men, Nick, the line. It's like, my client's a moron. That's not a crime.
Oh, exactly. Because one of the things that ended up getting, like, the judge ended up dropping one of the charges against him, which was him breaking the curfew, because the prosecution never brought it up during their time of grilling. And
amazing.
Oh, exactly, because most of their witnesses would have to be charged with the same crime, because that's how they were able there to testify, because they were breaking the curfew. One of the things that stands out to me is when they're trying to make, like, the race problem. It's like, okay, so you're upset that you believe that the cops would have acted in this one way. So instead of instead of just pushing for those police reforms, you're demanding that somebody else be subject to the same injustice. Like, if shooting the person is the injustice, you then want the injustice to be applied to somebody else, instead of exclusively arguing that there should be no injustice, right? So so what they're pretty much arguing is, oh, we really, because of the outcome, we really want to see Kyle Rittenhouse killed.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's ghoulish.
It's ghoulish, and, you know, we'll wrap here by tying this together. It really goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning with Joy Reid and her guests demonizing the entire right, talking about a castocracy in the making. Malcolm Nance, on that same panel, who's still recovering from the butt kicking he received from Ben Shapiro back in August, talked about how the American right is an insurgency that will resort to terrorist action to seize power that, quote, they will not give back. Okay, so when you're saying that the other side is not just wrong, but they are a national security threat, like they did here and as Joy Reid did on election night, and you're saying that someone on trial who should be innocent until proven guilty deserves the worst, I guess, and doesn't have a right to defend himself, you have a media culture that is pretty bad. It's pretty dangerous. There's levels of incitement that are going on here. It only takes one crazy person for something to happen. And I should point out, Nick, if only there was a show on a mainstream media outlet that talked about media issues.
Yeah, if only something where like they can bring together people to discuss, and like not just people, like sources that are reliable.
Oh, that's a name for a show. How about that?
Huh, we might need to trademark that.
Anyway, you know what, Nick? At this point, they'll probably get it, that show would get fewer viewers than reruns of Discovery's Moonshine or Teen Moms on MTV or late night reruns of Family Feud with Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there is one. Oh, that's right. It's reliable sources. Okay. Okay. In case you didn't get our sarcasm, I always have to make that point because sometimes on Twitter people don't get it.
Just to sort of tie things together a little bit, you were talking about Malcolm Nance there. Even Malcolm Nance retweeted my Jeffrey Toobin video of him talking about being an idiot.
Oh.
So, blind squirrel finds a nut.
It's all coming full circle. So with that, thanks for listening. As Tim Graham likes to say, come to Newsbusters once, twice, 12, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.